Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Gold Derby for another Predictions Slugfest. This time we are going to be talking about the SAG Awards, which are scheduled for August 4th, Sunday night. But they're doing something a little different this year. They're going to reveal the winners a little bit early on Wednesday and Thursday, and they're going to pre-tape those and then put them into the ceremony. So if you have not made your predictions at Gold Derby, go and do that right now in our Prediction Center, because the Prediction Center will close Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific. So get that out of the way right away. So my name is Marcus James Dixon, by the way. I'm here with Zach Laws and Daniel Montgomery, and we are going to be giving you all of our predictions for what we think will win film and TV. Let's start with Best Film Ensemble. The odds on front runner at Gold Derby right now is The Trial of Chicago 7. But us three all disagree. We think something else is going to win. And Daniel, what is that?
That movie is Minari. I moved it up into my first place position, I think a few weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what the straw that broke the camel's back was. It might have been the Oscar nominations, where we saw Trial of the Chicago 7 kind of underperform a little bit. No Aaron Sorkin. And then Writers Guild, Trial of the Chicago 7 lost that too. So it seems like it's been soft for a while. But the good news is that it's kind of a coin flip. I think Chris Beecham told us just in a conversation a week or two ago that The Birdcage is the only film that has won Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards without a Best Picture nomination. So, and in this category, it's only Minari and Trial of the Chicago 7. The rest of the category is Ma Rainey, which probably came close to a Best Picture Oscar nomination, One Might Night in Miami, which we thought maybe was going to get a Best Picture nomination, and The Five Bloods, which, again, I'm not going to break our heart any more over that than we already are. It got a Best Score nomination, that's it, at the Oscars. Did much better at the SAG Awards, but that seems like maybe a little unlikely at this point. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Minari, just because that film has so much more of this groundswell of support. It has been building and building in the right direction, whereas Trial of the Chicago 7 feels like it's been waning. But I don't think it's impossible for Trial, certainly. I think it's a pretty close two-way race.
And they love a cast that you can hug. Like these folks in Minari, like, not only is it my favorite ensemble of the year, but I think they also deserve to win. And what about you, Zach? I mean, I know you and I have kind of been on this Minari train for a while. Are you having any, last minute second thoughts?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
I mean, when you take into account what Daniel said, and also by extension Chris Beecham, about the fact that no film has won Best Ensemble without a Best Picture nomination since The Birdcage, it really does narrow it down to these two films. Even though, you should make an argument that it should be about which film has the best ensemble and not which film has the best chance of winning Best Picture after winning a SAG Award. But I digress. Trial of the Chicago 7, after its losses at PGA and WGA, seems to be a weakened candidate. And it is a more traditional kind of SAG ensemble winner when you think about the fact that it's a bunch of movie stars and a mix of film and television actors. And, it's the most kind of like ensemble in the sense that there are a lot of scenes with all of these actors at the same time acting together. So it wouldn't be a surprising winner. But I think that if you look at the kinds of films that have been winning SAG Ensemble recently, movies like Parasite last year, films like
Black Panther.
Black Panther, exactly. You know, it's the cast that, like you said, Marcus, that you want to hug. And I think that, you know, the Minari cast, both because of who they are, but also because of the kind of film that it is, the fact that it is so much a story about family and community and coming together, I think that that really has an effect on the people who are voting for this category.
Mm-hmm. And Parasite last year, just to remind people, it didn't get any individual nominations at all. And Minari got two individuals plus the ensemble. So if there was any doubt at all that maybe some of these people aren't famous enough, I mean, look at, they got Steven Yeun for actor and then they got Yeo Jung-yoon for supporting actress. Like, they loved this movie, the voters did.
Absolutely. So I think that it would be shocking if any of the other three movies won, but at the same time, considering how weird this Oscar year has been, I think if there's one film that could potentially upset, it would be Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, just because it did get those two individual nominations mm-hmm. for Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis, both of whom I think have a good chance of winning their awards, as we'll talk about in a little bit here. But I really think that this is Minari's to lose at this point.
Daniel, did you want to add anything, or should we move on to film actress?
Just that Minari does have some precedent and that, you know, that sort of has tight-knit family bonds at the center of it, like Little Miss Sunshine and Parasite yeah. did. It is a little bit risky, a prediction, just because it has the second smallest cast nominated, and it happens, like Sideways didn't have that many actors, Little Miss Sunshine didn't have that many actors, and they won ensemble anyway. It's more so if they really like you, they like you. But yeah, that's one thing to keep in mind. Ma Rainey has the fewest most? Actors. Five Bloods has the most.
Oh, okay.
It has 15. Trial of the Chicago 7 has 10. Minari has 7. And surprisingly, Ma Rainey only has 6, but that's because of the way those credits are included in the film. There are like at least 3 or 4 noteworthy cast members in Ma Rainey who aren't on the SAG list, which is unfortunate.
Well, best film actress, this category, you know, has been one of the most interesting to watch, shall we say, of you know, going from the Globes, where you had Andra Day win, but she's not nominated here. And then the Critics' Choice was next, and they went with Carey Mulligan, but Carey Mulligan's not nominated at BAFTA. So the nominees we have are Carey Mulligan, Frances McDormand, Viola Davis, Vanessa Kirby, and Amy Adams. I am going with Carey. You know, she seems like somebody that should have more awards than she does, but she's like always a bridesmaid at these, you know, award shows. She always gets nominated. She never wins. I think her time has finally come. What do you think, Zach?
I think you're right, but I do think that it's not quite in the bag for her, as evidenced by the fact that she did lose the Golden Globe to Andra Day, and that she's not nominated at BAFTA. I think that if there's a surprise here, it's Frances McDormand. And that is because she is the only nomination that Nomadland has. And so if they love Nomadland as much as we all think that they do, based on the awards that's been winning at all these guilds and at the Globes and Critics' Choice, she could be a potential surprise here, not just at SAG, but at the Oscars as well. I mean, the important thing to remember about SAG and BAFTA coming up, these are two awards that have industry overlap, right? There are people in the Academy in SAG and there are people in the Academy in BAFTA. And so it's a completely different group of people voting than at the Golden Globes or Critics' Choice, which have no industry overlap whatsoever. They have an influence undoubtedly about how the race is going to go, but there's no correlation between the people who are voting. So this is our first indication of how these acting races are actually going to go at the Academy. So I would say look out for Frances McDormand as a potential spoiler for Carey Mulligan.
Are you going to predict it though? You only get you only get credit if you predict it.
I'm going with Carey Mulligan right now just because Frances McDormand has several SAG awards and Carey Mulligan has none as of right now. But Frances is my number two. So okay, that's where I'm at right now.
And Daniel, who's your one and two?
My number one is Carey Mulligan. Just because that's me working backwards from Oscars, because I think she's winning the Oscar. And if she wins the Oscar, I think she has the best chance at SAG. But SAG is unique in that they like especially a lot of veteran actors. And here you've got Viola Davis, who SAG Awards love. Like she's won multiple times before for film and TV. Frances McDormand, who's also won multiple times. Either of them could win. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom has the ensemble nomination and the Chadwick Boseman nomination, and Carey Mulligan and Frances McDormand are the only nominations for those films. So for that reason, I have Viola ahead of Frances in second place, and then Frances in third. But it's like, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me too much if it goes any of those three ways. And honestly, it's one of those interesting years where, like, a lot of times we get to SAG and when someone is on a certain streak and then they win SAG, it's like, okay, well, that's over. Like Renee Zellweger for Judy last year. But like, no matter who wins this award, even if it's Carrie, it's still not like decisive, because Carrie wouldn't be able to win BAFTA. You know, Frances could win SAG and BAFTA and still lose the Oscar. It could go so many different ways, which is kind of good. I much prefer that to when everybody picks the same thing, yeah, and clearly no one has given enough thought to any of the movies. So I do prefer this, but it does make our lives more difficult.
Mm-hmm. I did have Viola in second place for a long time, but I changed it about a week ago. I put Frances at number two because of exactly what Zach said. You know, this is the one and only chance that SAG voters have to get on the Nomadland train. And we've seen PGA, Critics' Choice, Golden Globes, everyone seems to love this movie. And SAG will possibly become the only award show that didn't give it anything. So I do have her in second. It's not crazy to think that she could win this. And I know I have about 24 hours to change if I'm going to change. But right now I'm sticking with Carrie. Okay, so film actor, unlike actress, actor has, you know, the same person keeps winning over and over, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey. It's his last performance. Unfortunately, he did pass away. And that's helping him a little bit. It's all, you know, also the fact that he did a really, really good job. And this is a performance to really be proud of, and people are rewarding him justly. What do you guys think? Could anyone beat him? I'm hearing a lot of Anthony Hopkins last minute, you know, love for this legend.
Anthony Hopkins is the one who could beat him. And it's important to remember that he has never won a SAG award in his entire career, because the SAGs were not around when he won the Oscar for The Silence of the Lambs. And he has not won either an individual prize or an ensemble prize since then. Chadwick Boseman, even though he's never won an individual prize, has won as part of the ensemble for Black Panther. I do think that Anthony Hopkins is a potential Oscar winner for this movie, because I could easily see him winning a BAFTA. The Father was a vastly more popular movie at the Academy overall than Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It overperformed in terms of our expectations, whereas Ma Rainey's underperformed. I don't know if, because all of this late breaking buzz for The Father basically just happened last weekend when people finally started seeing it. I don't know if that's going to have an effect on SAG, which is only voting for about 24 more hours. But he is the person who I could see potentially upsetting Chadwick. Again, Chadwick has won Critics' Choice and Golden Globes. Those are not industry overlap awards. He hasn't won with people who vote for the Oscars yet. So we're going to really see whether or not, again, like if this is going to be like a sweeper in the same way that we saw last year with those four performances.
Mm-hmm. Daniel?
Yeah, I think Chadwick is probably safest here out of all of the awards to come, just because not only did Ma Rainey do so well at these awards, as I mentioned, it has that ensemble nomination, but because there are like 160,000 SAG voters, and so this does tend to be a much more populist award. And just the amount of, just the groundswell of support around him has been so huge. He got four SAG nominations, you know, twice for ensemble for this and for Ma Rainey and for both of his individual performances in those films, you know, for To Five Bloods and Ma Rainey. So it feels like very, very easy for him to win here, especially since the father was so late breaking in the season. He'll have his, Anthony Hopkins will have his shot at BAFTA, and he has a shot at the Oscar. If Chadwick loses this, I think he loses the Oscar. Wow. To whoever he loses this award to. I really do, because honestly, SAG should be that moment where that specific support and that specific kind of emotional support should come through from a very large populist awards body. So if they go for something like teeny tiny, like The Father, this movie that people are only starting to see, I think that might start the train for Anthony Hopkins. But I do think this will be Chadwick, and I do think Chadwick will make it to the Oscars and win that.
Mm-hmm. And I do just want to say, since you know you brought up merit and circumstance, there's been just feels like every weekend there's a debate over whether or not Chadwick Boseman deserves to win the Oscar, or if he's only the front runner because he died. I feel like I have to say this every week, but there's no way of knowing how the Oscar race would have turned out if Chadwick Boseman were alive. I know I wish he was still alive. And I think a lot of other people do as well. Most people, I would say, probably. Circumstance always plays a role in who is the Oscar front runner, whether it's because they've never won before or because they're in a hit movie or because they've been nominated, you know, X number of times, whatever it is. But bottom line, if he doesn't give the performance that he gave in Ma Rainey's, he's not nominated for the Oscar. And we know that because he wasn't nominated for The Five Bloods when they could have very easily given him a sympathy nomination for that. So I know that we're in the phase of the Oscar season where all of the negative whisper campaigns start, but I just hope that people can remember that this was a human being who devoted his life to doing good work and to being an inspiration to people. And, you know, he has a wife that loved him. And this has got to be just hell for her. But also, I wish that he was around to enjoy these accolades and praise that he's so richly earning for this film. So I just hope that we can put a lid on that kind of negative whisper campaigning.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing about the circumstances of his death contributing to the Oscar season, the thing about the fact that he died at 43 years old, if he had lived, if he had been healthy, and he was, by the way, giving these last 4 years of performances with cancer. Mm-hmm. So if he had been healthy, like, you know, whatever would have happened with Ma Rainey in the Oscar season, it would not have been his last Oscar nomination. It seems pretty clear, given the work he was doing in recent years, and you know, the fact that he gave this performance and this was his last performance means it's not only his first Oscar nomination, it's his last. And so it's, you know, he's an actor who was on the way to winning an Oscar. And you know, this is just now the first and only chance. So it's a worthy performance, and we won't know what other films he could have made after it, which is the saddest thing about it. So yeah, it is a richly deserved award. But when people start talking about merit, about someone like Chadwick Boseman, and not about like circumstance, you know, we're going to talk about supporting actress soon and whether Glenn Close will win an Oscar for Hillbilly Elegy. If she had won for Dangerous Liaisons 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been having this conversation about Hillbilly Elegy. So it's circumstance is everything.
Exactly. Well, let's segue there into film supporting actress. And I know, Zach, for a while you were thinking Glenn could win the Oscar, and I guess she would have to maybe win SAG first or not. What was your thinking there? And are you still predicting SAG for the Oscar? And what are you predicting for SAG?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that she could still win the Oscar and lose here at SAG, even though, according to her odds, she is the front runner. It's totally within the realm of possibility that she could win here. Again, this is her first competition at an industry award. I actually have Maria Bakalova predicted to win here. And I think that she's perhaps becoming the Oscar front runner. And that is based solely on the fact that Borat has, you know, overperformed in certain ways in terms of our expectations, winning the Writers Guild Award, getting those nominations for her and for writing at the Oscars. She's somebody who does have an Oscar narrative because she just came out of nowhere to give this performance. And now she's very quickly getting work with people like Judd Apatow. I think that, you know, she could potentially become the Oscar frontrunner here at this moment. But I do think there's a path for Glenn to win. And I think it's either Maria Bakalova or Yoo Jung-yoon winning at SAG, and then either then the opposite winning at BAFTA, basically, right? Like, if there's no consensus pick that comes out of SAG and BAFTA, then I think Glenn can still win the Oscar. But this is a very fluid race, I think.
One thing that could help Glenn is the Netflix factor, because Hillbilly is on Netflix and Looking Real Fast, none of the other nominees are. So we know, in, based in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, that at least on the TV side, if something's on Netflix, chances are it's going to win over something that's not. And that's because, as you mentioned earlier, there are so many voters, 160,000 voters, and a lot of them don't watch the screeners. They just watch what they know, what they have on their TV. And so that could definitely help Glenn Close. What do you have, Daniel? Who do you have winning this?
I have Yoo Jung-yoon at the moment. You know, if Minari is going to win Best Ensemble, I think she could go along for the ride. But honestly, I say that without any confidence whatsoever. This category has been up in the air. Like, you know, Jodie Foster winning for The Mauritanian at the Golden Globes. She's not nominated at the Oscars. And then at the Critics' Choice Awards, Maria Bakalova taking that one. Maria Bakalova could take this one too, because Borat is also on a streaming service. It's on Amazon, which I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm guessing Amazon Prime probably has close to as many subscribers as Netflix does in the US at least. So that could absolutely happen. She'll definitely have the exposure for it. She could be the Marissa Tomei kind of broad comedy winner who beats a bunch of, you know, more quote unquote prestigious nominees. If Bakalova wins here, I'm probably moving her to number one at the Oscars, which is not something I ever thought I would do.
I don't think I could do that.
I mean, we'll see what happens. It's like, she could win everything and still lose the Oscar because of that specific kind of snobbery, or because they're just like, look, Glenn Close doesn't have an Oscar, just give it to her.
Snobbery's the perfect word. I think everyone agrees that her performance is amazing, but is Borat the type of movie that can win an acting Oscar? I mean, it's nothing like that's ever happened before.
I mean, apparently it's the kind of
movie. My cousin Vinny look like Schindler's List in terms of, you know, in terms of just its tone and its stature and its perceived you know, style of it. It would be perfect for a pandemic year for something that weird to happen.
Yeah. I do currently have Yoo Jung-yoon winning this, and I'm only predicting her because Minari is also nominated. If Minari was snubbed, you know, I wouldn't even really give this category a second thought. I would be going with Glenn Close. But the love for Minari and Yoo Jung-yoon's career, she's been in everything. And I just think it's finally her time to win, you know, a huge award on the American, you know, in the American industry. So I am picking her, but this is a hard one. This is a doozy. Yeah.
And actually, an interesting thing about that, like I'm trying to think, you know, because this is a pandemic year, we're not going to get like the same televised events with people in crowded rooms. Mm-hmm. If you think about like the enthusiasm in the room, like whose victory would get a standing ovation? I think Chadwick's would, obviously. And I think Yeo Jung-yoon would. Like there's just a kind of underdog story there about how like she's been working for years. Like she's certainly not a new actress, but this is a big international breakthrough for her for this role that's now got her an Oscar nomination, historic for an Asian actress, a Korean actress. And like if I could so imagine in a normal year, her name called for the BAFTA and just standing ovation throughout the room for her. And that just totally launching her towards that Oscar. Mm-hmm. She seems like that. I can't imagine a standing ovation for a Glenn Close. Because one, they tried doing this whole thing with The Wife a couple of years ago. Yeah. So, Maria Bakalova, maybe. Olivia Colman has a bunch of awards, even though she's never won an individual SAG award. So like, I really think Yeo Jung-yoon would be that one enthusiastic kind of.
Mm-hmm. Hers would be the speech I would want to see. Or, you know, Glenn Close at the Oscars, who's never given that. I want to see that speech as well.
They might give Glenn a standing ovation if she won the Oscar, just because it's like, all right, we finally it took us a long time, but we finally did it.
Yeah. Best Film Supporting Actor. You know, a few weeks ago, I said that this category and lead actor were both locked. And I still feel that way. Is there anyone that could be Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah who wants to jump in there?
I mean, this is literally the award that I feel the most confident about predicting. Yeah, I think Daniel Kaluuya's got this locked up. There's only three people who got nominated both at SAG and the Oscars. The others being Sacha Baron Cohen and Leslie Odom Jr. I think that Kaluuya is far and ahead of, above those guys, just in terms of his odds. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's some weird scenario whereby which Chadwick Boseman wins both of his nominations. I have him in fourth for that reason. But I really think that this is Kaluuya's to lose.
I don't want to make fun of anyone, but in our Gold Derby Prediction Center, Daniel Kaluuya has 2,744 votes. Jared Leto has 9 votes.
So what you're saying is that Jared Leto is a dark horse.
There's still a chance.
I think Kaluuya is the safest of the acting front runners. I do think there is that specter of a possibility that the swell of support for Chadwick Boseman is so great that he just wins every, like they give him this. But probably not. Like Ma Rainey seems very clearly the choice if you're gonna vote for him for one or the other. And it's also a very, very brief role in Defied Bloods. So I think the only other scenario, and it seems decreasingly likely because it hasn't been paying off for him very much this season, is that because Sacha Baron Cohen does have the two movies, basically. He's nominated for Trial of Chicago 7. He's also Borat, of course, with Maria Bakalova nominated for that. So voters are watching both performances. And I would say that would have a bigger effect, but it hasn't really. Like the only thing he's won so far was the Golden Globe. So... and that was for Borat itself.
Yeah.
I don't see that necessarily being a factor. And the fact that they nominated both him and Lakeith at the Oscars shows just the growing industry love for Judas and the Black Messiah. And Lakeith isn't nominated here to siphon votes away, because I assume Warner Brothers submitted him as a lead at the SAG Awards. You actually submit to a category as opposed to the Oscars, where the voters can just put you where they want to put you. Daniel Kaluuya feels slam dunk is too strong a word in a COVID year, but it's a layup. Like it's an easy layup.
He also is arguably a lead, and I'm looking at all the others in this category. I guess you could say Leslie Odom Jr. is maybe a lead, but Daniel
and Kaluuya's even Sacha Baron Cohen they're all very borderline.
Yeah, Jared Leto even kind of is a co-lead in that movie.
Sorry, I'm remembering when everyone was freaking out about Jared Leto getting an Oscar nomination. And it was
like, yeah.
People, prioritize the things that you're getting upset about, right?
And the final movie category is one that the actual SAG Awards do not include on their telecast. They do it beforehand on the red carpet, which has always been very strange. But we're going to mention it here because we like stunt people. And the nominees for Best Film Stunt Ensemble are Defy Bloods, which is nominated for Ensemble, Wonder Woman 1984, Mulan, News of the World, and The Trial of Chicago 7, which is also nominated for Ensemble. I'm going with Defy Bloods. I think this is where it's actually going to win something, Zach. You're going to be so excited. But what about Wonder Woman? Didn't the first Wonder Woman win this stunt category a few years back?
It did, because it had some really good stunts in it, as opposed to the second one, which had a bunch of computer-generated effects. Not to denigrate the work of the stunt people who got nominated for this movie, but I think that, I don't know. I mean, usually it goes to a big blockbuster. I'm just saying the Five Bloods, because I got to predict it to win something this year, you know.
There's no obvious choice here, because like if you have like a big best picture contender that's like an action-y movie, like if like a Dune had been in here, that would probably be your stunt winner. But you know, Defy Bloods it's a war movie, but it is also very character driven. So you know, it's not a slam dunk. Wonder Woman, probably not, because the first movie people actually liked. News of the World would have a chance, but again, that's a very character-driven film with some action in it, and also has been underperforming elsewhere throughout the season. Mulan could. Actually, Mulan might be your spoiler, because that's
Mulan has the most
obvious
stunt.
Action. Yeah, that's your most obvious action movie.
Right.
Trial of Chicago 7, even though it has the main... the fact that it got in here, even for the nomination, I think is a testament to how liked it is in, you know, potentially best, the main ensemble category. So I don't think that has much of a chance here. So I think it's probably Defy Bloods or Mulan. And actually, now that I mentioned that, because I like my list is like Defy Bloods, Wonder Woman, News of the World, Mulan. And now I'm realizing, no, maybe Mulan should be my number two.
I finally saw Mulan and I was not looking forward to it because of all of the bad press. I loved it. It was so good. And I'm looking. You know, my predictions, I have it in fourth too. I definitely need to move that up. I may even do something crazy and put it at number one.
See, Mulan would be this year's Wonder Woman, not Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, you're right.
I just have to say, I mean, looking at these nominees, I'm really shocked that Tenet wasn't nominated, because, you know, whatever your personal feelings about Tenet are, like, there's some amazing, just practical stunt work in that movie. People are like jumping on buildings and leaping from moving cars and all this other stuff.
I think a real plane crashing into a hangar.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm if that was nominated, I would predict that in a heartbeat. But,
If it were nominated, I think it would win in a heartbeat. Like the fact that it didn't get in is the strangest part, because it, you know, it's not your big, it's not the Christopher Nolan movie that wins a bunch of Oscars, but like it's still in the Oscar conversation. It has a couple of Oscar nominations, and it was one of the few blockbusters that really got released. And it's so stunning. Like it's the one award that movie would absolutely deserve to win. And it's weird that that it wasn't even nominated.
And where's Borat? You know, the whole Rudy Giuliani scene, that was meticulously crafted. All of the stunts in that scene were amazing.
Well, let's, she should win the Oscar on. Just for that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to TV, and you know what, let's just start with stunts, TV stunts, why not? The nominees here are The Mandalorian, The Boys, Cobra Kai, Lovecraft Country, and Westworld. To me, I think this one's between Mandalorian and The Boys. I mean, you have The Boys, which is the action, the huge blockbuster action show with, I'm thinking immediately of this fight between, I'm gonna forget their names. But the two people in the trailer, the lovers who were fighting, if you're a fan of the show, you know what I'm talking about. And then you have The Mandalorian, which everyone loves Baby Yoda and he doesn't do a lot of stunts, but there was that great episode with Bill Burr and Pedro Pascal going to the stormtrooper headquarters or whatever, and there was I just remember, you know, watching that going, you know, this is fantastic. This is the most exciting, you know, stunt scene I've seen ever on The Mandalorian. So what do you guys think?
I think it's The Mandalorian, but I also think that maybe a potential spoiler is Lovecraft Country, just because it's got such fantastical stunt work to it. And also it is an ensemble nominee. So that might help push it over the top here. But I'm going with The Mandalorian because it's Star Wars. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think The Mandalorian is not a lock, but I feel pretty comfortable with it winning. It won the stunt coordination award at the Emmys last fall, and this is for season two, and that was for season one, so it's a little different. But I don't know. I think the same mentality applies. Even though The Boys is here and Westworld is here, it feels like the most action show of these entire nominees. And it's such a huge hit.
It feels
like it would be hard for it to lose this.
Right. And no Game of Thrones, we should mention. That show has won the stunt category, I think eight times.
Every time
it never lost.
So we're gonna have a new stunt winner. That's gonna be exciting. Okay, so let's move on to TV drama ensemble. Everybody seems to be picking The Crown, but I have The Crown in second place. I actually have Bridgerton at number one. And I realized they're both Netflix. And I was gonna say, well, the Netflix one's gonna win, but so that doesn't help me there. But the Bridgerton cast is huge. I believe it's 28 people, whereas The Crown is, don't quote me on this, more like 10. And as we know, oftentimes the show with the biggest cast wins. And with Bridgerton, you also have the diversity in terms of gender and in terms of race. And that really helps, especially when you have such a big voting body. Does anyone think Bridgerton can actually win? I think, Daniel, you wrote an article on this, right?
Yeah, I have it. I moved it up into second place recently. I think it's that or The Crown. The Crown has the momentum in the fact that it's been gobbling up everything. It won best ensemble last year when it didn't even have as many nominations. It didn't have Emma Corrin. It didn't have Gillian Anderson as part of that ensemble. So if it was loved then, it's probably more loved now. But yeah, Bridgerton is the SAG show. It was built to win SAG. It's from Shonda Rhimes, like Grey's Anatomy, which won SAG. it's this huge cast navigating British high society, like Downton Abbey, which won it like three times with that enormous cast list. It's also reminiscent of first year water cooler hit shows like Stranger Things, also on Netflix, which won for its first season. It also, like, from the size of its cast and the diversity of its cast, it's also reminiscent of multiple winner Orange is the New Black on the comedy side. It was genetically constructed to win this SAG award. I'm just trying to decide if it will beat The Crown when The Crown just keeps winning everything. The SAG Awards really like repeat winners. So The Crown won last year and it could win this year and next year and the year after that potentially. I'm right now sort of playing it safe with The Crown, but Bridgerton, man, that, like, I'm so tempted to switch.
I am going with the front runner, and I believe there's one other category where I have a shocker. So, I mean, if you're going to win a contest, you can't go with the front runner on each one. You have to go on these limbs, you know, occasional limbs that make sense. Mm-hmm. So, Zach, what about you? You have The Crown too, I'm guessing?
I do, yeah. I mean, Bridgerton's my second for all the reasons you guys have said. I should point out that Netflix has three drama ensemble nominees and actually 11 nominations throughout the three drama categories, including an entire field of actresses on the drama side. So clearly Netflix does help your TV show getting nominated and winning. The one thing we know that SAG loves more than big casts is repeat winners. If this was a weaker season of The Crown, I would say that Bridgerton had more of a shot, but this is the season of The Crown. It's won everything it's been nominated for, and it is nominated in, let's see, four individual actors throughout the Best Actor and Best Actress race. It just seems so hard for me to bet against that.
I know. But I think, I'm starting to regret my decision.
I mean, you got
still time to change your mind.
Yeah.
And you're right. It has the four individuals, which when we get to comedy, I'm going to say, you know, Schitt's Creek is winning ensemble because it has four individuals nominated. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even using my same logic here, but oh, well, let's see what happens if I change my mind or not.
You have bragging rights if you get Bridgerton right. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, I will use those bragging rights for years and years to come. Hidden Figures.
yeah. We know. We know. We all know.
For TV drama actor, I did have Regé Jean Page winning as well for a while, but I switched to Josh O'Connor a few days ago. Do you guys think Josh is winning? He also won the Golden Globe and he won the Critics' Choice.
I think he's winning the Emmy too when those come about. It's, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I thought that he was, I didn't even have him as the front runner actually. I was predicting Jason Bateman for Ozark. But as soon as he won the critics, as soon as he won the Golden Globe, sorry, it's hard to keep track of what happened first when we haven't been able to go outside in so long. I just thought, wow, not only is the love for the Crown real, but the love for Josh O'Connor in the Crown is real. So I just think he's going to continue winning prizes for this performance up until the Emmy ceremony.
Yeah, I think this is where he's the most vulnerable. I think Josh O'Connor is, I put him at number one, but I do think it's a close one with Jason Bateman. Because again, it's another repeat situation. He won the last time he was nominated for Ozark. They liked Ozark enough to nominate, the series for Ensemble and both of the main female cast members, Laura Linney and Julia Garner. So they really, really like Ozark. The only thing keeping me from predicting Bateman to win again is, again, with how time has passed in this last year, it feels like Ozark happened a decade ago. and we've seen that in how it hasn't really been managing to win much. It only won the one Emmy for Julia Garner. It didn't win any of its Globe nominations. Did it win anything at Critics' Choice? I can't remember. I don't
believe so, no. But it did win the Writers Guild Award for individual
it did,
episodic television.
So I do think Bateman is still right in the thick of it. It feels like there's just so much more heat on the Crown.
And especially, you know, I don't know if the voters actually consider this, but this is Josh's final season on the Crown, and he'll be replaced next year, just like all the cast members will be replaced. So if they wanted to give him a trophy, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you could say the same thing about three of the women on the Crown, Gillian Anderson, Emma Corrin, and Olivia Colman. This is their last chances as well. I think we have Gillian Anderson winning this, but this is tough because Gillian plays a supporting character, whereas Emma and Olivia are leads. And similarly, Julia Garner is supporting and Laura Linney is a lead. And those are the five nominees. Who wants to take this one? Who could beat Gillian and why is Gillian the front runner?
Emma Corrin could beat Gillian. And then Olivia Colman could beat them both. Cause I think you could even make the argument that Emma is supporting Olivia Colman, right? Who is the definitive lead of the Crown. This is so hard to choose because Emma Corrin and Gillian Anderson have both been winning prizes for the Crown. They're not in the same category in all those other awards races. This is the one and only time they're coming up against each other. It would make sense that if Josh O'Connor is going to win Best Actor, Emma Corrin would win Best Actress because that storyline between Charles and Diana drives so much of the tension in season four of the Crown. On the other hand, Margaret Thatcher also drives so much of the drama of season four of The Crown. And Gillian Anderson is just like, I mean, she's able to out-act Meryl Streep in the same role. Like, who can say that about themselves, right? It's just a stunning transformation into this woman who there's so much archival footage of. I just have a hard time seeing her losing this. I don't know. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I think Gillian Anderson, I think Gillian Anderson is, like, interestingly, even though she has two co-stars who could potentially split votes with her, I think Gillian Anderson is safer than Josh O'Connor.
Wow.
Just because it's a supporting role, but it's the most transformative. It's an actor who the SAG Awards already like. Gillian Anderson is a past SAG Award winner for The X-Files. Again, it's the situation of how the SAG Awards often prefer veteran performers to the kind of up-and-comers. And so that would give her, Gillian Anderson, an edge over Emma Corrin a bit. and again, it's her one and only chance for this role. It's Emma Corrin's as well, but Emma Corrin is this kind of newcomer who could, you know, this is her introduction to high society, to borrow from Bridgerton. She'll have many other potential chances at these awards, and honestly, so will Gillian Anderson. But yeah, it just feels like such a SAG role. Like, you know, John Lithgow won for his supporting performance as Winston Churchill, his season of The Crown. So it feels like Gillian Anderson's going to do the same.
Comedy ensemble. I think we all have Schitt's Creek. The other nominees are Ted Lasso, The Flight Attendant, Dead to Me, and The Great. And what's interesting is those other four that I just mentioned, this is their first nomination in this ensemble category. Schitt's Creek was nominated for the first time last year, but it lost to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So, and again, this is kind of the Netflix factor. Even though Schitt's Creek is not a Netflix show, that's how it became so popular, was people streaming it on the service and loving it. You know, they just binged all 5-6 seasons all at once. So I do have Schitt's Creek winning. I think Ted Lasso would be in second place, but I do think Ted Lasso will get another trophy, which we'll talk about later.
I think, you know, if there is a spoiler, it is Ted Lasso, just because it is the new Schitt's Creek. Right, in terms of being that warm-hearted show that people have discovered during the pandemic and has helped get them through it. But I think that when you look at the fact that this is the last time Schitt's Creek is going to be up for this award, and the fact that they gave it 4 acting nominations, everybody in its cast who won Emmys last year is up for SAG Awards this year, it feels kind of undeniable that they're going to give it a goodbye hug. Ted Lasso will obviously have more opportunities in the future to win this award, maybe even next year, depending on when its second season premieres. But yeah, I think that this is Schitt's Creek's to lose.
I think it's a two-way race, but it's not that close. I do think Ted Lasso could upset, but I feel like Schitt's Creek is very solidly out front. The one reservation, of course, is that Ted Lasso did beat Schitt's Creek at the Critics' Choice Awards, which shows that the Schitt's Creek spell is starting to wear off a little bit in terms of, you know, like, it's been winning everything. It's like, okay, we've done this. Let's move on. But like, again, those four individual nominees for its cast, sort of just like at the Golden Globes, I think that puts Schitt's Creek on top here. Like, if Ted Lasso had gotten Hannah Waddingham in, I would be more inclined to say it would potentially win here. And it still could, but yeah, I think Schitt's is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. I just like what you said there. I won't repeat it because
I do think that, you know, the fact that two of the Schitt's Creek people are supporting and they got in here in these categories, which are, you know, supporting versus lead, even Annie Murphy, who many considered, you know, not as strong as possibly Dan Levy, you know, in the corresponding supporting race. But the fact that they all got in is huge. And you're right, Hannah, if she had got in for Ted Lasso, we would have to take a second look at Ted Lasso. I think she's winning the Emmy though. So there you go, Hannah. Okay, so TV comedy actor. I think we all have, we're all so boring. I think we all have the same one again. We all have Jason Sudeikis with probably Eugene Levy in second, and then Dan Levy in third, and then either Rami Youssef or Nicholas Hoult in fourth and fifth. Though that's, I don't want to say anyone's last there because they're both so good. Now, Daniel, why don't you go first on this one?
Yeah, this is, and honestly, I think Schitt's Creek could have won this, but I do think this would be, this is your vote split situation. Where I can see Eugene Levy as the sort of veteran beloved actor would be very much up SAG's alley, and Dan Levy as really the kind of heart and soul of the show, and the driving force of the, you know, final season, his whole wedding that ended the show. And he's very much the breakout beloved star of that. I feel like they're gonna divide enough support that a very strong Ted Lasso is going to be able to take this one. But yeah, I do think those are the only three probably in this. No offense to Nicholas Hoult and Rami Youssef. You know, Nicholas Hoult is not totally out of it because they did nominate The Great for ensemble cast. That was pretty unexpected. So, but yeah, I do think this is the three-way race.
We went 45 minutes without saying vote split. So congratulations to all of us. Okay, Gazette, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually have my number two and number three flipped. I've got Dan Levy ahead of Eugene Levy, but It really doesn't matter because I think that Jason Sudeikis is going to win this in a walk. I mean, you know, he's Ted Lasso, and it is a show that people love. I think they're going to want to give it something. And, you know, knowing that Dan and Eugene will both be taken care of in an ensemble victory, I think will maybe give people more of an opportunity, let's say, to vote for Sudeikis for this prize. I do think that it's between those three guys, and because Dan and Eugene seem to be kind of neck and neck, I think that it allows Sudeikis to just dominate this category on the way to the Emmys.
So TV comedy actress, could we see a similar situation where the two Schitt's Creek ladies and the two Dead to Me ladies all kind of cancel each other out? And who would win in that situation? It'd be Kaylee Cuoco for The Flight Attendant. Is that possible? I know we all have Catherine O'Hara winning. I don't even think we need to say that, but it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, if Kaylee, put it this way. I remember last year saying that Jennifer Aniston would easily win the Golden Globe and Olivia Colman would win SAG, and those two got reversed. So anything's possible, especially, you know, Kaylee, I thought, would win the Golden Globe in a walk. She did not. Catherine O'Hara took that. I do think that this isn't a vote split situation. All love to Annie Murphy, who I will say I predicted would win the Emmy along with all of her co-stars. There's my bragging rights. but I just, you know, I think people are going to want to give Catherine O'Hara one last prize for this performance.
Yeah. She's never won at the SAG Awards, right?
That's crazy.
She only has a couple prayer nominations, and one was for Temple Grandin, where she lost because she was a supporting actress and she lost to her lead, Claire Danes.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Catherine O'Hara wins this. It's not a vote split situation because between the two, I think Catherine O'Hara is your pretty clear choice. Like she's the Steven Soderbergh for Traffic, where Annie Murphy is the Steven Soderbergh for Erin Brockovich in this situation. Although I do, again, like Kaylee Cuoco is possible. Because they nominated The Flight Attendant for ensemble, they clearly love it. It has such great buzz, and like Ted Lasso, it was late in the year, and so it like peaked at a much better time. You know, Schitt's Creek is fighting the fade, whereas you know, The Flight Attendant has been on the rise, has been taking off, if you will. You know, that could happen in much the same way that Jennifer Aniston won for The Morning Show. It's like the hot new show that we don't usually look to the SAG to award the hot new show, but occasionally. And on a new streaming service, like Jennifer Aniston won for the Apple Plus kind of you know, inaugural year, and Kaley Cuoco could do sort of the same for HBO Max. But yeah, I think Catherine O'Hara feels like the kind of performance that just wins the season. Like it's just like season long coronation. Like this is your victory lap and also a career recognition award for all her work, especially because she hasn't won a lot of these awards very much before. So if at all, so yeah.
Better late than never. So we have two more categories. I want to do actress first and end with actor because I'm predicting an upset for actor. So that'll be somewhat something, you know, exciting to talk about. Actress though, I'm just going with the odds. Anya Taylor-Joy, The Queen's Gambit. She won the Golden Globe. She won the Critics' Choice. For a while here, I did have Kate Blanchett winning for Mrs. America because of what Daniel was saying earlier about the veteran vote. You know, Kate Blanchett is beloved and she's the movie star and all of that. But it's hard to bet against someone like Anya Taylor-Joy, the up-and-comer, who also, you know, was in Emma, which is a motion picture. So she has eyeballs there too. Do you guys both have Anya? Zach?
I mean, it's really hard to bet against Anya when you consider that The Queen's Gambit was so strong that it got Bill Camp in to lead actor, or well, to movie mini actor, I should say. He's really only got one episode in that show, and they loved it enough to nominate him alongside people who were the leads of their entire program. So I just feel like that is a sign of strength for The Queen's Gambit. I would also say though that as our social media manager, one of the most popular tweets I put out was about the possibility of Kate Blanchett winning the SAG Award for Mrs. America. Oh. After losing the Emmy, the Golden Globe, the Critics' Choice. So I don't know, she's a good number two, I think. If you're gonna predict an upset, I would say go with Kate Blanchett. No disrespect to the other three, Michaela Cole, Nicole Kidman, Kerry Washington. I feel like any of them could be winners in any other year. I just think that Anya Taylor-Joy she's on a winning streak right now, and we'll see if that carries over to the Emmys. But for right now, I think she's on a good streak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I too was predicting Kate Blanchett early on because these categories are so tricky. Someone gets on a hot streak and then you get that sort of veteran appreciation where we hadn't seen love before. Like last year, Sam Rockwell winning for Fosse Verdon. Bryan Cranston winning for All the Way when he had lost the Emmy. So like that makes Kate Blanchett really strong. Even though it does feel like no one cares about Mrs. America anymore very much. like it feels like the air went out of it so much after like Watchmen just like drank its entire milkshake at the Emmys, except for Uzo Aduba, who's not nominated here. So it feels like the air has gone out of it, and like there's just so much enthusiasm for Anya Taylor-Joy that it feels like it's just kind of the momentum is going to continue for her. I actually think probably the most vulnerable Anya Taylor-Joy will be at the Emmys, because by then, The Queen's Gambit will be several months old, and there's an opportunity that it could start to fade, depending on what else, what other movie miniseries start to rise. But yeah, I think she'll continue that here, especially with that Bill Camp nomination alongside her.
And speaking of Bill Camp, that is my surprise pick to win movie mini actor.
Whoa! And
yes, I thought about it the other day. He is the veteran, I guess Mark Ruffalo could be considered a veteran and Hugh Grant and Ethan Hawke, but Bill Camp is more veteran-y than them. He's worked with everybody, right? TV, film, this guy is so beloved, and this is his first ever SAG nomination. So the Queen's Gambit bump will push him over the edge. That's my prediction. And this category is absolutely crazy because Mark Ruffalo wins at the Emmys and at the Golden Globes, but then he loses to John Boyega, who was a supporting player at the Golden Globes, and John Boyega is not nominated here. So it's a very strange category that's been going on all year long. I don't think Mark Ruffalo is going to do it, even though he personally gave my favorite performance of the year. Mark Ruffalo did. What do you guys think?
I'm only going with Mark Ruffalo because I didn't predict him to win the Emmy or the Golden Globe, and then he did. But then, of course, as soon as I predicted him to win at the Critics' Choice Awards, he lost to John Boyega, like you said. So maybe my predicting him will actually help your prediction pay off. I don't know. It is a weird category. Like I just said, Bill Camp was able to get nominated for basically one episode of a 6-part limited series. So, I mean, they liked him enough to nominate him for that. It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I might move him up to number two just because of all the things that you said. So,
and he's also the only Netflix contender here. I mean, we have HBO and Disney and another HBO and a Showtime. And we know that these voters love Netflix and they have very easy access to it.
Very true.
Yeah, I think Bill Camp could be that character actor appreciation award, especially because at the SAG Awards, you've got actors voting. So I think they will be more inclined than anyone else to celebrate an actor who has been working for so long and has been getting his due kind of later in his career. Tony nominee, Emmy nominee, now a SAG nominee. So he does have that, and I think he could win the Emmy, certainly. But I do think that, again, I've been burned by Mark Ruffalo and with Mark Ruffalo all season. But I think if Mark Ruffalo could win the Golden Globe for, I know this much is true, on the only nomination, you know, the fact that he, you know, is that veteran actor, he's won here before for The Normal Heart when he lost the Emmy for that. So yeah, I feel like this is probably, of all of these awards, the one that he should win the most. It seems like the most, you know, kind of thing that would be the one that would go to him out of all of the ones that he's already won. This seems like it should be the most likely. But again, you know, the whole Olivia Colman will win SAG and Jennifer Aniston will win the Golden Globe thing, like, it's still kind of haunting because it's like, okay, well, maybe we're overestimating certain factors with the SAG Awards and maybe they're changing a bit in terms of demographics or preferences. but yeah, I think I can't bet against Mark Ruffalo here.
Well, we will see. There are a lot of categories that are up in the air. It just so happens there are more categories that seem to be very locked up. But we will all see together on Sunday, April 4th. One last reminder to get your predictions in before Tuesday at 5 p.m. Thank you everyone for watching, and we will have another Slugfest next week. It probably won't be as long.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.